to speak remotely, though I couldn't be there. In my book, I talked about this sort of accidental or rather forced convergence of the diverse approaches to AI, as Maggie Bowden talked about the good old-fashioned AI and the neural AI and machine learning. It really came together not because suddenly different threads of academia decided to talk to each other more, but more because there was a pressing commercial need of targeting advertisements at all of us much more effectively, so that there was a good chance that we would click those ads. And that's really what's been happening since the 2000, the decade. And that has driven a significant amount of progress in AI. What has changed significantly the past 4 or 5 years, and I speak as a practitioner, while I'm also an academic, my main job is practice, so I have no religion in terms of which type of AI one uses. Whatever works for me is perfectly fine. What has fundamentally changed in the past 4 or 5 years is the significant success of the neural network approach, which is characterized in the popular media as well as academia as deep learning. And with again, there is now sort of a tilt, as Professor Bowden said, towards that style of AI. But as a result, what has become possible, in addition to perception, what Gary mentioned, recognizing places, objects, and people, or being able to seemingly understand documents, translate speech, transcribe speech, translate language, and appear to understand perceptual tasks. In addition, there are predictive tasks. I mean, machines are now able to do a reasonably good job at looking at clicks and figure out who's likely to buy, what they're going to click next, or whether a machine which is running is closer or farther from failure, much better than they used to do before. As well as prescriptive tasks, in terms of if there's a complex decision to be made, which machine to reboot when, which container to put next on a ship, these combinatorial tasks are also being handled now by combinations of logical planning as well as neural artificial intelligence. And lastly, participative AI, where you have machines, robots, and autonomous vehicles in particular that participate in the real world. So I'm just going to talk about what that has done to us in industry. From the IT perspective, it's a big education that one has to put the Fortune 1000 companies through, because there is a perception driven by media in particular that AI can do everything. And there is also a perception these are IT systems. AI systems are not IT systems. IT systems, you can decide what they're going to do. And once you figure it out, apart from proper software engineering and making sure there are not enough bugs, not too many bugs, and doing it right, they will do what they're supposed to do, right? AI systems are not guaranteed to always do what they are supposed to do. And secondly, you have to put an AI system in practice before it gets better and better. And that's something we don't do in an IT system. Once you put a payroll system in place, well, it's going to do payroll perfectly well from day one, apart from bugs. AI systems simply have to learn. I'll give you some examples which I've been involved in. Robots. We build robots. In particular, Amazon has this competition every year on robots for inside a warehouse. And we've been participating. This year, we managed to come fourth. It's the only entry from India, along with the IIT. One of the things that I'd like to mention is we came fourth. We could have come third. Robot made a couple of mistakes. But the mistakes it made were not because the AI failed. Were stupid mistakes because of some programming bug, or because the physical mechanism of the robot wasn't strong enough to pick up the object it was supposed to pick up. So when you talk about participative AI, there's much more to it than just the AI algorithms. The second example I'll give you is that we have deployed AI within our company of more than 300,000 people in a natural language system, which pretty much talks to people and answers questions about various corporate policies, right? And it's live across 300,000 people. We get a few thousand queries a month, and we get sort of measured accuracies around 90% plus. At that level, 90% sounds good, but that means there are a lot of queries which go wrong. Okay. And the last point I'd like to sort of emphasize is about autonomous vehicles. Autonomous vehicles are probably the most mission-critical form of AI which people are now trying to deploy. I mean, things like a robot in a warehouse, well, if it makes some mistakes, there'll probably be somebody to pick up the mess and put something where it's supposed to be. If an ad targeting system makes a mistake, well, okay, you didn't click, you might lose a little bit of money. If a natural language question answering system makes a mistake, doesn't matter, you'll call somebody. But if an autonomous car makes a mistake, it could kill you. We, as an organization, do a lot of work for companies that build autonomous cars. The kind of work that we do is both from the perspective of, you know, AI programming and AI development, but also simply having people look at the videos of what the autonomous car sees and what their sensor sees, hours and hours and hours of these videos, and tagging when they go wrong. And believe me, the number of times a tree is recognized, the pedestrian and vice versa, are not small. The nice thing is that, yes, when humans keep tagging these videos, the systems get better and better. They're after all learning systems. But the days when autonomous cars will be able to recognize people as being an enemy soldier or a friendly soldier, I think, are very far away. Whether they'll be recognizing people who are carrying a bomb or not bomb, I mean, I think that's very far away. So understanding what machines cannot do, I think an autonomous vehicle can quite, with its radar, can easily understand, you know, whether you're going to bang into something and then safely navigate and stop, right, or slow down. But to figure out something more intelligent, I think we're a bit far off, and we're doing a lot there. Apart from the ethical aspects of whether you want that to take place at all on the battlefield. So it's really a matter of not that AI itself might be dangerous, but it's much more dangerous than AI is simply natural stupidity. And if you don't know what AI cannot do, and you do, and you use it for the wrong purposes, we can have a lot of problems. Having said all of this, the technology that goes into autonomous weapons is exactly the same technology that goes into autonomous vehicles or autonomous robots in a warehouse or in a factory or for waste management or for cleaning the streets. So it's almost like chemical weapons in that sense. The technology is not controllable. It's there in every pharmacy or drugstore. And it's very different from perhaps a nuclear technology. It's eminently dual use. So any kind of regulatory framework has to take into account the ethical aspect rather than the controlling aspects of access to such technology. So technology is eminently multiple use. That's all I want to say. Thank you.